Good morning, everyone. I hope you've all had a good week. Good. Well, today's sermon is titled Best Friends Forever. I just want to start with honoring those that preach because, it's not that easy. So thank you, Mike and Tim, for just allowing this opportunity. I'm going to start with some definitions here of a couple words. So what is the definition of friend? A friend is a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard, a person who gives assistance. And some synonyms of friend are companion, soulmate, intimate, confidant, familiar, ally, associate, sister, brother, best friend, kindred spirit. And now I want to look at the opposite of friend, which is enemy. A person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. The synonyms for enemy are opponent, adversary, foe, arch enemy, rival, antagonist, combatant, challenger, competitor, opposer. We know that our enemy is the devil, Satan. And in 1 Peter 5, verses 8, it says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And also in Ephesians 6, 13, it says, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be still standing firm." I want to look at the definition of friendship. Oh, sorry, the definition of enmity, which is the opposite of friendship. Enmity is a state of feeling or being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. So some synonyms of that is hostility, animosity, antagonism, friction, antipathy, animus, acrimony, bitterness, resentment, aversion, ill feeling, bad blood, hatred, loathing, malice, spitefulness, venom, malevolence. So that's quite a list, you know, like those are what the enemy uses. these things, they can separate friendships. They're the opposite of a friend. So in Hebrews 12:15, it says, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." So we see in the Word of God that these opposite things of friend, they cause corruption, they cause trouble, they grow, and they're like poison, like a poisonous root. And those are what we want to look out for. Like it says here, look out for each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. So, friends, let's do that for each other. also, in Ephesians 4, verses 30 to 32, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So we see the opposite in the Word of God of these characters of the enemy. He wants that for us, for the body, just a call to tenderness for each other, forgiving one another. You know, that one can also cause a huge wedge in friendship if the tiniest bit of unforgiveness can be there and stay there. It can cause a lot of harm. Now let's look at the Greek word and definition of friendship, which is philia. Philia is one of the four ancient words for love. It is often translated as brotherly love, friendship, or affection. Philia is the love between friends as close as siblings, in strength and duration. So philia, we see that in the Word of God as well. I'll get to that soon. The friendship is the strong bond existing between people who share common values, interests, or activities. So we're all here, as that song Tim did earlier, Christians. We have Christ in our heart. We have that common value, that common interest, that common activity. You know, we love God. We serve Him. And that is, you know, philia is, it's brotherly love, friendship, or affection. So in 2 Corinthians, I want to read chapter 9, verses 13 to 15, and it says, "As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, which is too wonderful for words." So that gift of brotherly affection, deep affection, praying for them with that deep affection, it's too wonderful for words. So there are some scriptures. Now I want to move into just a bit of just my background a bit, you know, some things that I struggled with and still do, which are, I have, struggles with things that help make a friendship work. So, for example, human interaction. I'm going to say, as a kid growing up, school dances, it's like I want to be there with my friends, but then it's like you have to dance in front of a bunch of people. Those nerves. And also as an adult, you know, there's ladies' nights, there's get-togethers, there's baby showers, all sorts of functions. You know, not too long ago, I'd be cringing and shuddering. Oh, I don't want to go to those. I'm so nervous. And I would just hope that I couldn't make it. Please, something come up, something else come up, so that I don't have to go. And I won't be faced with the most obvious weakness that I have, which is, you know, it's nervousness, it's anxiety, it's just facing those inner struggles that I know I'm not the only one that struggles with these. That and communication. So growing up, I would do the least amount of communication as possible. I would prefer to use body language or anything else. Nothing. And so I wasn't a great communicator. I would be told lots, you're so quiet. You know, it still happens, but God is moving me out of that. He is calling me into this friendship that he speaks of in the Word of God, how, you know, brotherly affection, praying for others. I'll continue showing more scriptures as I go along. He would tell me, he would keep spurring me on, Valine, you do have something to say. You are valued. The body does need you. And those are lies from the enemy. Again, the opposite of friendship, enemy. He uses those tactics to just seep them into our ears, just whisper them at the slightest little thing where we hear, you're not good enough. You're not valued. They don't need you. You know, we listen to those things and we live them out. Also, affection. Growing up, I wasn't too fond of cuddling or being in super close proximity with others. I could say that's changed quite a bit after having kids, and they just swarm you. And then it grew on me, I guess, and I do like cuddling now. But, you know, it was, you know, with people, as you grow up, if you sense that someone doesn't want you around them, that can kind of push people away. And I noticed that happened growing up. And so affection, you know, we go back to the scripture about brotherly affection, how it builds the body. I believed lies like, you're not good enough. You don't deserve friends. No one wants to hear what you think or how you feel. Nobody cares about you. Nobody needs you. You don't add anything. Like, I believe these things, like, still struggle sometimes, you know? I began to think, what are these feelings and beliefs of myself stemming from? And insecurity, you know, that was a huge one. I want to actually go over that. Here is the definition of insecurity: uncertainty or anxiety about oneself, lack of confidence. Synonyms for insecurity: lack of confidence, self-doubt, diffidence, unassertiveness, timidity, uncertainty, nervousness, inhibition, anxiety, worry, unease, vulnerability, defenselessness, peril, danger, instability, fragility, frailty, shakiness, unreliability. And also the state of being open to danger or threat, lack of protection. So we see that pretty much everything I shared with you about, like, things I struggled with and still do, you know, it's insecurity. So now I think, well, how do you fix that or change that? And for the longest time, I tried to do that myself. It was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And, you know, we can't find our security in ourselves. We just can't. It's not possible. We will fail horribly. We need to find our security in Christ. He is the answer to all of those problems, pretty much any problem ever. And so we go back to enemy. Our biggest enemies can be ourselves. We talk down to ourselves. We think the worst of ourselves. We listen to those lies again from the enemy. One of the ongoing things that God has been working on with me and challenging me in lately has been friendships. I'm very weak in that area. I've lacked a lot of common, normal, like, friend things, you know? And he was calling me out of that, saying, like, I am your friend. And that was huge for me. Like, I looked at how he was to me as a friend, and he was saying to me, Valine, look at how I befriended you. You were my friend when you were my enemy. You actually were my enemy, but he befriended me and said, you are a child of God. You are my friend. I have scriptures for that, just bear with me. But a bit of my background, you know, as a child, I was quiet, introverted, anxious. I had just horrible social skills, a low self-esteem. I was often very nervous around other people, very nervous. Like, my eyes would glaze over, and I would have to put on the, you know, like the horse. You know how they have the horse? They block horse blinders, right? And I would mentally do that and just go through the entire group to the most safest place, probably a surrounding wall or a chair in the corner. And, you know, it was horrible. So a while back, I asked God about my friendships. I said, why is it so hard to open up, God? Why does it feel so hard to develop deeper relationships? Why does it feel impossible to make new friends? These things that I was struggling with were acting as a large barrier. And just like, for example, a new person comes along in my life somehow, say a new friend, and I would freeze up. I would just completely and utterly freeze up. It was like, wow, you won't get a word out of me, or you won't get pretty much nothing. But deep inside, I was longing to make these new people, feel at home, hoping they can find a friend in me, hoping we can connect and learn from each other, love each other, grow and live life as friends together. I felt like the only way that could feel better was if I could just find that one friend, you know, that best friend. I can open up with him, feel safe, be real. In John 15, verses 13 to 17, it says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. And that is what Jesus said about that. You know, we're his friend. He says it in the Word of God. If we do his commandments, we are his friend. And he commands us to love each other. He chose us and set us. He sent us to go and produce lasting fruit. So I want to look at, what is this fruit that he's talking about? You know, I'm finding the answer. So we are his friend. We listen to his command to love others, love each other. and go and produce lasting fruit. In Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11, it says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. So above it said, the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. In Jesus' name, we ask for knowledge and understanding. We want to keep growing in that. We want it to grow so that it can overflow, and it will just keep coming more and more. And that is for the body, you know, it flows into the body. So back to this. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled. Sorry, I lost my spot. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. So there it is. The righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of your salvation. The character that he produces in you from that friendship with him. This will bring much glory and praise to God. So not only are we friends with him, we're getting the character produced in us, but it brings him praise and glory. I realized that God was calling me deeper with him. He wants us to grow in knowledge and understanding. He wants us to pursue him and draw near to him. The same way that I long for a deeper friendship, he also wanted that with me. He woos me. He draws me. He builds me up. And as I drew near to him, he was showing me that I needed to have that with him, that deeper relationship, that friendship, that desire. He wanted that from me. And I actually believe that the reason I was struggling with my friendships was so that I can go back to it. What is it that is stopping me from being a good friend? And it was simply that I was not being that close friend with Jesus. His fruit was not coming up about because there was no relationship there. It wasn't the where he wanted it to be. In Psalms 107, verse 9, it says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Are you thirsty for that friendship, that bond, that closeness, that raw, deep, intimate, no borders, no hiding? Are you thirsting for that? I sure am, and sure was. He will fill you. You won't be hungry. He'll fill you with good things. So we're seeing a pattern in the scriptures that he will fill us with good things, with lasting fruit, with his production of that fruit from him and the closeness with him. He calls us close, and then he sends us to share about him. So also another friend thing. I wouldn't share these things with anybody. I would have these deep, intimate things with God, and he would call me to share them, and I failed many times. But he's calling us to that. That deep friendship relationship that you can have with him, you can also pattern that and just pattern that same relationship with your friends. It will be beautiful. So we move from an understanding of ourselves, of who you see yourself as, who you know yourself as, who you believe yourself to be. We move from that to what? We move from that to who others know of us as. So you got who you actually are, who people view you as, what you view yourself as, and then we have what God has planned for us, who he has us destined to be. It's not who we are. He has destined us to be more than who we actually are. He has more for us. And there have been times where I've begged God for friends and to have the skills necessary to develop friendships and grow into a more fruitful friend. When I look back to just, it says here a few years ago, but I can say actually a couple months ago even, when I was running away from what God was calling me into. You know, I was afraid. I was insecure. I was just fighting that call, because I knew he was calling me out of what I was in. That insecurity, that just unsure. It had been what I had been battling since childhood. So it almost was like that security blanket of like, but I'm shy, but I'm weak, but I'm this and that and that. And no, let's not have our security in that. Let's have it in Christ. James 4 verses 8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. So not only does he tell you, I want that relationship with you, I want that closeness, I want that friendship. He's saying, if you do come close to me, I will come close to you. You're going to get close to God. You're going to get to know him, his character, his will, the answers to all the struggles in your life. You're going to get to know them. Romans 6 verses 13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So another pattern we're seeing, he wants to be glorified. He wants us to glorify him with our lives, with our actions, with our friendships. Proverbs 2, verses 2 to 6 says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So draw near to him and he will draw near to you. What will come with that? Knowledge and understanding. I started to see that lots of people have at least one really close friend, a best friend, someone they trusted, someone they felt safe with, someone they were extra fond of and extra close with, someone they can be vulnerable with. I longed for that same kind of closer, deeper friendship too. So in Romans 12 verses 10, it says, love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. The kind of brotherly love. You can look at your sibling relationships. They usually don't lack an honor of each other. You know, as we grew into adults, you can easily see the stronger characteristics in each of your siblings, maybe. I mean, I know I did. And you honor it. In Psalms 25, verse 14, it says, the Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. So he has a covenant, okay? I know the desires he put in me were not just for me, but it was also for the body of Christ, the church. He put a desire there to actively be a part of the body, be knit together with people in the church. He put the desire there. If you have that desire, let's grow close together, let's be knit together. He can hear those cries in the body who are longing for brotherly or sisterly love, a kind of relationship in which we can grow and learn from each other, honor each other, help each other, a community of loving others and being loved genuinely. He hears those longings. He really does. We really long for that. I know we do. I know that when I first came to church, I was being drawn by Christ, as he said in the scripture. He drew me. He chose me. I didn't choose him. He had already chose me. And he didn't know, but I could feel those desires. I didn't know, but I could feel those desires being satisfied in him. So those desires I wanted for that one true best friend forever. I was being satisfied. That feeling was being satisfied in him. And that doesn't say we can't have best friends. No, that's good. We want best friends. We want close friendships. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace, in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Again, he's wanting that praise. Not our strength, his strength. Not us, him. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we're wanting to find, how can you be a godly friend? How are we friends of God? He showed me how he was my friend and how I can follow his example. I went from, "Why don't I have friends, God?" to, "God, how can I be a good friend?" My focus went off of me and onto Christ. It was, "Oh, I have no friends. I have no chance. Nobody likes me. Me, 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 me." I was crying out to God. I was desperate. How can I be a good friend? He turned my focus on him, on his qualities, on his ways, on his responses to me. Those are the responses he wants us to give to others. He loved me when I was a sinner. He loved me when I failed. He loves me always, and that's what kind of friendship and relationship we want to build with others. So I am imperfect. I fail. I fall short. I give up. I become my own enemy. And yet he still loves me. He still forgives me. Another huge key is forgiveness. He forgave us and all of our sins. He draws close to me. He picks me up from that deep hole that I dug myself into and lifts me to the Father, saying, "I love you. I love you even when you fall. I love you where you're at." No matter where you're at, he loves us. "I love you at your weakest. In fact, he's made strongest in our weakness. Oh, how I love that. to know that my weakness is His strength comes in me. He draws me closer and closer. God is calling us to be transformed into the new. So let's read about that. In Romans 12, verses 2, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." So we see that a lot of it comes from up here. What I think, what I believe, what I know. He says, no, get your knowledge and understanding from me. Follow me. Produce that fruit from me. Not me, but Him, Christ. After changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So His will for our lives is good and pleasing and perfect. Not the will that we have for ourselves or believe for ourselves or want for ourselves, but it is His will. That what He is calling us into, it's good and pleasing and perfect. And He wants us to learn to know what it is. So, continuing on to some of my thoughts, not only with Him and those in the body, but He was also calling me to that kind of deepness with my current friends. So I'm pretty sure if you got some of my friends together, they might say, like, yeah, she's quiet. I don't know much about her, but I love her, you know? They might say things like that. So He wanted me to pursue a deepness with those current friends, not just be like, oh, I've moved on. I got these new friends. No. He wants us to not forget our friends. He was calling me to pursue those friendships rather than being the always one, the one to be being pursued, you know, kind of laid back. No. Go forward and shine His example from your hearts. So I'm going to skip over a few things. So what qualifies knowing someone? Like really knowing them? Usually you would know, like, their name, their age, maybe some family history, names of their family members. Maybe you know their favorite things, dislikes, fears, beliefs, idiosyncrasies, failures, struggles, strengths, weaknesses. So we have some friends, and we know these things about them that are not so desirable. So what do you do when you know about those weaknesses, those failures, those struggles? Well, God calls us to love them. In Galatians 5:13-17, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." So, from my own personal experience, that is very easy to destroy somebody with your words and your thoughts and what you think of someone. You know, it's not His will. He says in 1 John 5:16, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So we get those desires from Him. They're the opposite of what our sinful nature wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So when those constantly fighting happens, it ties you up. So let's get free. Let's do what the Spirit wants. Let's listen to His desires. Galatians 6, verses 1 to 6 says, if you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray. This can stop those biting and devouring from happening. Pray, and God will give the person life. Often we try to fix it ourselves, but He's showing us in the Word of God, as a friend, let's pray for those fellow believers that are sinning, as long as it's not leading to death, right? So Hebrews 10, verses 24. Oh, I'm not sure. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help the person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, and then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourselves to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Now I want to end it with 1 Corinthians 13:1, which is speaking about love. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. It says it in the Word of God. If I gave everything I have to the poor and sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Let's rejoice when the truth wins out in our friends. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So there's that call to love others constantly through the scriptures. And love is His commandment, that we love others as ourselves. Here's what love is. I just want to end with that. Let's love others genuinely.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.